I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsafe the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Maddening!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey Bunty, so welcome back, and again welcome back to our listeners. So for our final story today, we thought we'd do something a little off the beaten path. You know, Bunty reminded me that perhaps on our account as well, and you know, on our podcast, we sometimes, you know, tend to sort of look at things that are grim, intensely political, of course. So we thought we'd just talk about criminality, and I want to just put two things out there. So yesterday I shared this with Bunty. This was the DCP of South Delhi who said, "Godmother of crime in Sangam Vihar ends up behind bars." This is a tweet he posted. Delhi police has arrested Basiran, one of the top five dreaded women criminals in Delhi. And the dude has put many hashtags like hash women, hashtag Delhi. So someone needs to give the DCP South Delhi office a kind of primer on how to use social media. She was wanted in a murder case and absconding for the last 8 months. She and her sons are previously involved in 113 criminal cases. And then the same story was also on India Today, which put it in a funnier way, saying, "Mummy arrested. Lady Dawn linked to more than 100 crimes caught by Delhi cops." So Mummy recruited her 8 sons for crimes like murder, extortion, land grabbing. Police caught her when she was meeting her family in Sangam Vihar. She was someone who, you know, relocated. She was internally displaced in the 80s from Agra to Delhi. And then, the family got into crime. And then, Mandy, you've just sent me something about the police. This is some, like, Delhi police is having some good kind of run, yeah. You sent me something about...
This is from the Times of India.
So this is not Delhi police. Sorry, yeah.
UK police arrest Dawood's key aide Jabir Moti at London Hotel.
So this is between, and there's been some intelligence sharing, and he's a Pakistani national, huh? Crime, yeah. And, you know, just a quick sort of qualifier that, all of these criminals just happen to be from one community, but it's not our point to imply that, you know, like Muslims are more criminally inclined in India than other communities. I mean, we know there are any number of cases, any number of politicians from across the board who are, you know, involved in these kind of activities. So with that, Bunty, so what are your thoughts about this, both these, you know, stories and criminality?
No, the picture of Mummy with dark glasses on.
Insane.
Right? That's, you know, because Netflix is kind of awash with series about drug dealers and operators. And I think I'm going to segue into Sacred Games, which you recommended, or, you know, it's a book that we've read and it's now on Netflix. Have you seen all of it, or have you seen some of it?
I haven't. I mean, I love watching crime thrillers, and several years ago, I kind of ran through Emory University's entire collection of, you know, a massive collection in many languages of, like, crime thrillers. And at home, we've watched a bunch of Netflix stuff. I still have to watch Sacred Dreams. I read the book and I enjoyed it, though by the end of it, I was a little exhausted. You have seen most of the series, haven't you?
Yeah, and I think one of the things I would... I'm not generally in the habit of promoting different bits of Netflix because people have different tastes. But I think this was a really good watch. And I think the gritty but slick, stylized kind of crime scene in Bombay has been held up very nicely. And I was thinking of that as we were talking about this story of Mummy in dark glasses in a Delhi police station. I was thinking how many steps this is far removed from that stylized version of the Bombay underworld. And I'm just curious as to, you know, how this kind of, she looks like a lady in her 60s, and 60s or 70s, utterly maternal looking person or grandmotherly looking figure, who is clearly, to the knowledge of the Delhi police, running a crime syndicate. So we just the contradiction of, that kind of a person running a crime syndicate is I just thought was at one level funny, but another also, why not? You know, why shouldn't they? Why shouldn't a grandmother-like figure be running a crime syndicate? This was my main point.
It's a fantastic point. So there's a kind of like, you know, point here about feminism and self-sufficiency and independent women. I know that in the 70s, when the when emergency was declared, I think alcohol was simultaneously banned, right?
Right.
But it was available. So there used to be these tankers that technically, you know, ferried water, which used to provide alcohol. And in Colaba, there used to be these places all over Bombay you could go and drink. And the women, in fact, I know the location in Colaba. It's near where I think, there used to be this very well-known store. I forget it. It's the part of Colaba that heads towards the railway colony. And there used to be a, you know, set up there where you could get alcohol. And obviously, these were run by ladies called hooch aunties. So, you know, and then I think there's this fantastic book written by this journalist, Aman Sethi, where he also talks about some, you know, woman who runs some, you know, she runs some like illegal liquor adda. And the interesting thing is that, you know, there used to be places like this in Bombay that were open during the riots as well. And I, you know, I'm a little ashamed to admit that, you know, when during the riot time or whatever, when the curfew was partially relaxed with a bunch of friends from Xavier's, we went and had a beer. And I was, you know, for me, the drinking wasn't the main thing. I was just fascinated about the experience. But there's a certain callousness in going and doing that also. So I asked my friend that, you know, like, how come this place is open? And he said that, boss, the cops also need some place to drink.
Right.
You know, the women kind of manage it. So that's one thought. The second thought quickly, and I don't want to go on and on, is that, you know, in whether it's Hollywood, whether it's other countries in the world, you know, the cinematic industry and the crime industry have always mirrored each other. So what happens in India is, for instance, criminals, they pick up cues on how to behave from what they see in Bollywood. And then Bollywood in turn kind of, you know, echoes that. So the film Parinda, it's a fantastic film. It had a line about, "Wo varli gutter mein so raha hai." He's, you know, sleeping in the whirly gutter. And that line, which was introduced in the film, has kind of become part of the lore and part of the vocabulary of the Bombay underworld.
Right. Whirly gutter mein so raha hai, that line.
Yeah, it's like, it's exactly like in The Godfather, he's sleeping with the fishes.
Right.
So, wo whirly gutter mein hai ya whirly gutter mein so raha hai, something like that. That's an amazing film, by the way, Parinda. Just fantastic.
No, I think it was the first movie of its kind. And, you know, that pigeon shot was was a very good... okay, but look, before we digress into pigeons and Parinda, the other man who's been arrested by the UK police, actually it transpires he was born in Maharashtra, held an Indian passport has been revoked.
Huh.
He's Dawood Ibrahim's accountant.
Huh.
My question is, and given that we were in Switzerland a week ago almost, and one of the comments I made to you as we were passing past a cafe was, you know, when you look around, you see a lot of people. It seems like a city with a lot of people with a lot of money, but you're also apprehensive about the source of the money, And I think this chap who's been caught in a hotel in London would probably have been very welcome and at ease in a place like Geneva, because, you know, clearly I felt that city drew a lot of these kind of money laundering types, because that's what an accountant for a drug lord does, if I'm reading it correctly.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a very famous line, and I think I mentioned it in different contexts 3 or 4 times on the show, that by Walter Benjamin, that, you know, every monument of Western civilization is a monument of barbarity. But, you know, whether it's the very posh parts of London, and you'd know better about this, I was reading that, you know, there's these super expensive flats in London, but nobody knows who's buying them out. So in the heart of London, you have these, you know, these palatial luxury sort of buildings, and they're absolutely and utterly dark because, you know, it's either some Saudi sheikh or it's some drug dealer in Latin America. So the beauty that you see in a lot of these great cities is definitely linked to, you know, this kind of international money, some of which is outright criminal, some of which is partially shady. And it's the same thing in San Francisco. I mean, you know, there's a lot of, like, money from Chinese billionaires. It's rumored that Vijay Mallya owns a flat in, you know, a very, very expensive apartment building downtown. So, you're right. I mean, there was, you know, without, again, wanting to stereotype, you got the feeling that, you know, you were, like, you know, you might have been brushing shoulders with a drug dealer, with an arms dealer or a money launderer or something like that in Geneva too.
And I think, you know, these guys, it's very interesting when people arrest, when the police arrest an accomplice of a kind of a world-renowned gangster like Dawood. Do you think he has an organogram where he says, okay, this is my finance man, this is my hitman, this is my... Because it will be very curious to see how criminals organize their organization. Because this guy's been arrested as a... I don't know why he's been arrested as a finance person and rather than as an accomplice. Because clearly when he was arrested, I was just thinking, what was transpiring? He was saying, yes, you are right, I'm Mr. Ali, I help Dawood. But I help him in a financial capacity only, right?
But, yeah, so here's the thing, right? This is the sort of paradox of global capitalism, that in a sense that the same mechanisms that these criminals use are also the mechanisms that corporations use, and they're the mechanisms that the very wealthy political, global political class uses. So I think first, so a couple of things. So there's that side to it. And I think it's probably because it's easier for him to get away. So you know that... A few years ago, there was this case where Hong Kong and Shanghai Bank was laundering money for drug dealers, right? And it was done so brazenly, it was done so shamelessly, so openly, that they had a separate window which was created for these drug dealers who would come in with trunks full of cash. And what did... Not a single person from Hong Kong Shanghai Bank was arrested. What happened? They got a rap on the knuckles for $3 billion, which I think is peanuts for them. And, you know, this is why these... You know, you have these offshore accounts, you have all of these, you know, complicated financial arrangements, because the wealthiest people of the world, the ex-prime ministers, the ex-presidents, the dictators, the movie stars, you know, the hedge fund managers, they use the same instruments that the mafia uses, the criminals in different countries use. So that's my understanding of why, you know, he's portraying himself as a finance guy. Second thing, absolutely, that I think that these organizations are very well managed. They're run like professional organizations, and someone should, you know, I don't know if anyone's been able to do a dissertation for obvious reasons, you know, there are questions of the, you know, like access and safety of life and so on. But I wonder if in a business school they actually have case studies of how some of these organizations are run.
So look, let's look back. I know we are kind of, we've talked about this a fair bit about Mummy and this Dawood's financier or accountant. It'll be very interesting to find out, you know, how does one progress? Because in my imagination, and this is probably slightly dated, the idea of a criminal gang kind of riffs off Sholay. There is one man who does all of the thinking and the heavy lifting, and then there are thugs, right? And clearly what has happened between Sholay and now, and, you know, the Hajar things that Netflix shows us, as you are rightly pointing out, you know, they're using a model for corporation. The corporation model is being used in organized crime, and why not? If it works for a corporation, it should work for criminal folks as well. But my question is not the actual organization, but how one goes about applying for these type of jobs, right? Where do they advertise? What are the career prospects? So does a guy join as a hitman with the possibility to grow up to be an accountant? And to flip back, this guy who's an accountant, did he start out as an accountant? And then the flip back from that is, if anybody can fake being an accountant, then why do we need such Hajar qualifications to be CA, BA, MA, to become an accountant? Because, you know, it opens a whole myriad of possibilities in terms of, you know, how this man transferred or transformed himself from being wherever his point of entry into the organization was. Probably he was bringing tea or cigarettes, to managing these international money laundering operations as his financier. Same case for Mummy, you know, in Delhi. This lady, maternal-looking lady, what was the point of entry into this? That's what, you know, was she making a chapati and giving, you know, feeding the local thugs, you know, aloo paranta, and all of a sudden she flips?
I mean, these are fantastic, you know, questions. And I also wonder if, you know, the work culture at these places is in some ways more professional than your average, you know, Indian government.
Absolutely. It could be killed. If you come in late, or, you know, if your work rate is not good, it's not that you're going to miss the promotion. You'll be killed. You'll be taken out and shot.
You know, I'm going to share something that a colleague of mine at Rediff actually called Chota Shakil. And, you know, he he asked Chota Shakil like a fairly direct question, and then he spent the rest of the day really sweating, and he was very worried. And but Chota Shakil said, like, you know, what do you mean? I'm a travel agent, because Chota Shakil is again like a don, and his official business is, you know, running a travel agency. And I think my friend just asked him directly that, sunaya aap, you know, ye murder murder mein you're mixed up. So the guy really bristled, and then my friend was freaking out, and I said that, like, I'm sure you're not the first guy who's asked him that, but he said, kya matlab aapka, main travel agency.
No, I think it's phenomenal, because, you know, the legitimacy of a state of an ego. So whether it's this maternal lady in Delhi or this guy who's claiming to be an accountant, at some point when he checks into the Hilton and, you know, he goes for a drink in the evening, I'm thinking this guy unwinding. He's been arrested now, so it's a hypothetical. You know, he's sitting at the bar. There's another guy who's from India. So let's assume he doesn't speak too much English or limited English. Aap kya karte hain? Main toh finance mein hoon. Achha. Aap, main bhi finance mein hoon. Achha, bahut achha. Aap kaun sa finance? Main Citibank. Achha, achha. Aap? Mera private.
Exactly.
So, you know, so I just think how people legitimize, you know, and so it would be like mummy in a South Delhi shopping mall. Benji, ye salwar aap kahan se liye? Nahi, ye toh mera beta ne liye. Abhi beta kya karta hai? Diversified activities.
Collection, you know, collection agency or something.
Security limit. Sopranos, there's this garbage disposal. Anyway, look, we've talked about these kind of aspects of criminality and criminal life. Good, this chap's been arrested. Good, the mummy's been arrested. And a shout out to the Delhi police who've done this work. Phenomenal bit of detective giri, because to get from organized crime to this lady with dark glasses who looks like a grandmother, phenomenal. I don't have anything more to say on this, Rohit. Over to you.
I don't think I have anything else to add, but I think we should look at euphemisms for jobs which involve a degree of criminality. I think that's a topic maybe for another episode. So I think on that note, we can kind of wrap this up.
Chalo. Take care.
Take care, man. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.
I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.